This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to episode 293 of the Stacey West podcast. It's a day early and we'll explain why in a little bit. My name's Gary, I'm one of your regular hosts, and today I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by somebody, an international superstar. Now, you may know him from such programmes as BBC Look North and the BBC News. We know him a little bit more intimately. We knew him before he was famous. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, can I introduce you to Charlie Billy Beeston? How are we doing, sir?
I'm very well. You are so lucky to have me on. You know, I actually carved out time in my week for this just so that I could be sat here with you guys. I don't forget my roots.
Oh, I did have to laugh. For those of you who don't know, Charlie featured on a really good bit on the BBC News about being a football fan, a blind football fan. It was good. It was a good piece. I think you came across really well. They cut out the bits of me booing you when you walked past, which was a little bit of a shame, but you came across well, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. They also cut out quite a lot of my swearing in the stand, which was quite good as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. You can't have swearing on the BBC. Although if you listened to some of the Portsmouth celebrations from last night, because Portsmouth have gone up as champions, there was this short clip where there was 10 or more F-bombs dropped live on the radio. Do you know what? I kind of like that because it's real life. People swear.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear it on the BBC, but, you know.
But you want to hear it when it's your team, and because they'll just be celebrating the exact same as what the fans are. So you want to hear that sort of thing. It's exactly what it's about.
When a Lincoln goal goes in, if all of a sudden you had Michael Horton go, and that is a thunder bastard.
And to be fair, it could actually create some passion out of that commentary from some of the comments I've heard about it.
Oh, well, Michael Horton's quite passionate, isn't he?
I don't know, but all I hear is stick given to that radio commentary.
Yeah, there's a lot of stick. And it's, do you know what? It's actually really difficult. I was, as people probably know, because I go on about it all the time, I was able to commentate on the Gateshead clash in the FA Trophy through a guy called Chris Bell. Brilliant, brilliant experience. I love commentating on football. I'd love to do it again. But it's hard. You know, you've got your notes in front of you. You're trying to watch what's going on. You're trying to listen for your cues when you can come in. And it's so easy to make a mistake. And like, if you're on air and you glance up, and it's not racist, you glance up and there are two people of colour playing for the opposition across the other side of the field, and you take a quick glance at who's on the ball and look down, it's easy to get them mixed up. Just like it's easy to get, last night, their co-commentator, got Danny Mandroyu and Dylan Duffy mixed up for the sending off. They were like, it's Mandroyu, he's already been booked. It's so, so easy when you don't know the players, but it's so easy then for somebody to be critical of it, you know, on the radio. I don't think it's as acceptable to get your own players mixed up, by the way. But
no, agreed.
So, have you had a good day anyway, Charlie?
Yeah, busy, busy with uni work, busy cleaning because my parents have been away for the past week, so I've been on babysitting duties, looking after my younger sister. And although she's 19, but it's I won't go. And my parents are sort of coming back. They're supposed to have been back about an hour and a half ago. I called them up when they sort of landed in that, and they just got back to the car park at Birmingham Airport. Had a flat tire. So they've been waiting for about 3 hours for their RAC to come out. So gosh knows when they're going to be back this evening. But no, it's not been a bad day. Nice and busy. And then, it was a late night last night as well. So I am knackered.
Yeah, I had a late night last night. I couldn't sleep. a mixture of nerves about the game and nerves about going to the dentist, which is where I've been this afternoon. It's my first ever filling, which I don't think is bad for a man of 45.
That's good.
So if I'm slurring a little bit at the minute, one side of my mouth is, a little bit numb. And you know, so that my dentist is a girl from, Lithuania or Eastern European, maybe Polish. And I'll be honest, I don't mind saying this, she's pretty hot, to be fair. And then she's got a dental assistant who helps her, who's just exactly the same. So I've got these two pretty girls.
What dentist do you go to?
They're not taking on new clients, I'm afraid. I did ask for fee. I asked for fee. So I'm there late, and the dentist is going on round. And I always get a little bit nervous. I've told the story about when she found Weetabix in my, or when I had Weetabix in my beard. So don't get me. So I shaved my beard for this one. At the end, she goes, "It's done." And I was actually bricking it because I knew it was going to be an injection. I'd never had a filling. I didn't know if it hurt. I had to have a deep clean. I didn't know if that would hurt. So I finished. I went, "Oh, that's quite good." She goes, "Just have a quick swill," she said, "a good rinse to get everything out." So I put the water in, started having a good rinse. Of course, because half of my mouth is numb, it just all pissed out all down the front of me. Bloody water with chunks of whatever it is they pull out of your teeth on it. I'm just like, oh, I just looked at them both and they're looking at me and I'm thinking, bloody hell. Last time I came in, I had Weetabix in my beard and now I'm dribbling bloody water all down my top.
What must they think of you, Gaz?
I know. I mean, it doesn't matter because obviously I'm married. But even so, appearances are everything. Appearances are everything. We put in a hell of an appearance last night at the Kassam Stadium. Now, that's my pen jumping out my hand in pure excitement of talking about this again, because Chris and I were convinced, and I think you were probably the same, coming away on Saturday, 5 points, three games to go, it's too much. And there's the eternal optimists who went to Oxford. We can still do it, because they'll say that we can do it right away till the mathematics, till it's done. But in your heart of hearts, sometimes you don't feel it, you don't believe it. It's not because we're pessimists. It's not because we're negative. You just look at it and pragmatism kicks in and you just think, Joe, they're a good side. They've scored 13 goals in three games. They are absolutely flying. They've got good players. The crowd are going to be behind them. You know, we go there and get a point at any other time of the season, and it's a hell of a result. So imagine my surprise, and potentially yours as well, Charlie, I would imagine, when we come away with a victory.
It's weird. I went going down yesterday, I was not at any point going to have been surprised if we'd have got a result. But still, even though we've won the game, and you know beforehand it was still even if we win the game, I'm still saying it's over. It kind of became a little bit of a running joke between the group of us, like, it's over. We're not doing it. It's not happening. Let's just go and enjoy these last few games. And it had that real kind of end of season feel where we could just go down, we can enjoy ourselves, we can have a good day, and if it gets ruined by the football, it gets ruined by the football sort of thing. And I mean, even before the game, even at half time, there's a group of us that were talking about going out after the Portsmouth game, and some people will be travelling up from down south. And we're saying, oh, well, we're basically trying to sort of plan going out. But then we went, oh, but it'll obviously only happen if we don't make the playoffs, because if we make the playoffs, one of them can't come out. But we're saying, let's just pray and hope. And that was even at half time. And then we're slightly late out after half time as well. And yeah, everything changed. Everything just changed so quickly last night. And suddenly today, everything rides on Friday.
It does. Well, so let's strip it back. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, because we turned up at the Kasama, unique three-sided ground where all the atmosphere seeps out of one end like a burst tea bag. But great following. And it was a real makeshift team again. You can talk about formation all you want, but there's a feeling for me that this was kind of like a 4-2 or a 4-4-2, more or less, with a Draper and Taylor up front. House playing kind of looked right, wide right. It looked to me wide left was Rico. Danny Mandroyu, I think, has been brilliant in recent weeks. Midfield with Ethan Arahan. But it's fluid, isn't it? The way that we play, Hackett will drop into left wing back if we need to, and then the House would play as a midfield three. So we can't get too hung up on formation. But it looked like we were going for it, whereas in actual fact, there wasn't an awful lot else that we could do.
For me, there were so many similarities in the build-up to the game as what the Barnsley game had. It had the sense of, we can go for it because, let's be honest, we're out of it now. Obviously, back then it was the draw to Stevenage that we thought had knocked us out of the playoff race and all of this. And then it was a really kind of attacking lineup, but it was actually quite makeshift, the exact same as the Barnsley game, because we'd had all of the midfield injuries and that was kind of the first game of it. So it kept on sort of harping back to that. And like you said, we're trying to kind of figure out exactly how it's going to fit in. And somebody made a very good point, actually. I can't remember if it was in our group chat, actually. The fact that it was in number order on social media and not in formation order.
Just
those little things. That it's like, okay, so we're going to be doing something different here, whatever that might be. And it built up the excitement for it again suddenly.
Yeah. And then the game kicks off. I mean, the atmosphere, I was obviously watching at home on iFollow, worked and was made it difficult for me to go. But the atmosphere seemed absolutely phenomenal. And looking and speaking to people today, obviously, it was fantastic from both sets of fans. You know, I make the joke about the Kasam, but, you know, they were fired up for it. Mr. Buckingham, who we'll come on to in a bit, was certainly trying to G them up a little bit and kind of trying to get the crowd going. He made some interesting comments post-match that I think you've got about it was better than the last few weeks or something, which for me just, there's an undercurrent there. But anyway, Michael Scobala doesn't need to do that because he does it by getting his team playing really well. 5 minutes in, you think we're just getting into this. Rico Hackett dislocates his shoulder. I mean, honestly, when you say, people say you can't write a script. So like, Mbappe scores the goals for Paris Saint-Germain that knocked Barcelona out and he's moving to Madrid in the summer. You can't write a script like that. You can, because you can write a script about a dystopian future, you know, like Star Wars where people fly around in spaceships. So it's easy to write a script like that. But would you dare write a script for Lincoln City's availability this season? I mean, it'd have to be a horror movie, wouldn't it?
The fact that we're in this position, it is defying all of the odds because everything is seemingly going against us when it comes to availability. But, you know, in all fairness, Rico Hackett does go off dislocated shoulder. He was obviously in hospital down in Oxford last night. You know, hopefully he's all right today and everything. But I wasn't too worried in the short term because Dylan Duffy comes in. And Dylan Duffy's a player who I think is really exciting, has got a future here. We just kind of have to figure out what that is. And I actually was not happy, obviously, that Rico got injured because that's the last thing that we wanted. But it was also the silver lining to it was the fact that Dylan could then come in and get, hopefully now, a run of game. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But so Dylan comes on. And I wrote a piece about Dylan the other week where does he quite fit in? He's not quite first team. You don't want to loan him out. I thought he did well. And I thought then after that, for the next 10 minutes, we acquitted ourselves really well. We had two glorious chances. Now, Bordy's header. I remember at school being taught headers, couldn't do them. But they were all, you always head down, head towards the goalkeeper. They're harder to save. And we saw a couple actually on Saturday against Wigan that were kind of headed up in the air. The keeper's just watching and catching them. I thought actually Jamie Cummings' save from Bordy was really good. And then poor old Fred. I mean, he had a good game in that he got into positions to score and he worked hard. But you'll only remember the misses, and the big one was on 15 minutes. And you know, I've watched it back again and again and again, and I can't see how the ball doesn't go in the back of the net.
No, it was a brilliant flick on before then. I don't know. Like, he obviously just didn't get his header right as much as he wanted to. I don't know. I don't know how to even explain. Sorry for a little peek behind the curtain then. Gaz has just done something to his camera to send him into space or something. Whatever.
What the hell was that? I did that.
Yeah, you stuck your two fingers up.
Whoa!
And it's got fireworks.
Anyway,
I don't know. Look, I don't know what Drake was doing with that. It's funny because it actually reminded me something of what you said in your piece after Reading, where with Joe Taylor, when he got that first goal, you knew then he would get more. And I think you'd sort of put something along the lines of, with Freddie, you didn't quite expect that it was going to start a goal-scoring run, and it wasn't necessarily confidence that he was needing and that sort of thing. And I think that kind of just proved it. It wasn't one of those where you could turn around and say, oh, well, if he'd have got a couple of goals, he'd have scored that. It was just a poor effort. He just made a mistake. It's as simple as that.
Well, I disagree a little bit, because I actually think if he had... When he got his goal the other day, I said, I don't think he'll go on a run. And I stand by that. But I think that if he had had four or five games in the first team and got, let's say, 2-3 goals, I think he buries it all day long. I think it's almost a little bit like the Joe Taylor. I didn't think that was going to happen. But had he got it, had he had a bit of confidence, he puts that away. And probably the opportunity that comes a little later. Let's not take anything away from Oxford, though, because I actually thought they were really good in the first half. I found the first half to be a really engrossing game of football with good chances at both ends. And obviously, there was a big save from Jensen, which I think is better than it's been given credit for, from Tyler Gooderham. I mean, you're talking point-blank range. He's 10 yards out, and Jensen's made himself big. For me, reminiscent of Peter Schmeichel, in that he's just, not the Scandinavian day, but just because he was just big and makes a great save. And a goal for Oxford, I think, kills us off in that game. And I'm not saying that because we've never looked like that. We've never looked like being killed off by a single goal under Michael Scabala since we've got players back, since Blackpool. But I think a goal last night just dampens our crowd, gets their crowd up. I think that it was absolutely crucial, the first goal, so it proved to be. So I don't think that you can put a cash value on that save from Jensen.
No, so Jensen keeps us in games. I mean, Leighton Orient, for example, at home on Good Friday, they didn't have too many opportunities. But Lucas Jensen was still huge in that game for making some saves, meaning that we could then go and get that last-minute winner that, you know, everybody heaped praise on Jovan and the rest of the team on, for sure. But it all starts with a solid goalkeeper that's able to do that and keep you in those matches. And I 100% agree. Tuesday night was, we needed to score first, and then we needed to try and have some sense of control in the game, whether that's control with or without the ball. Obviously, it ended up being without the ball primarily, and that's absolutely fine because that's where we're still so, so strong. We had that. It's the remnants of that from the Mark Kennedy reign. And, you know, Mark Kennedy had a lot of critics and obviously still does, and that's fine. But it was the out-of-possession work that we built up so highly during his time at the club that Marcus Cabral has just been able to build upon rather than have to sort of revolutionised too much or anything like that. So, yeah, it was crucial getting that first goal, and Lucas Jensen was pivotal as part of that.
Yeah, indeed. So I think come half-time, I genuinely believed that we could take something from the game. And going into it, I didn't. Because I'm probably guilty of looking at a team and thinking, God, that's a good side. And I mentioned it in my write-ups, but you look down that team, Josh McEachran, who's been a quality midfielder for years at this level. You're talking Gooderham. I mean, Greg Lee, who not a player that I didn't know a huge amount about, if I'm honest, before yesterday. Outstanding, I thought. And looking at where he's been, like at the likes of Morecambe and Bradford and stuff, it's not like he's dropped down to play for Oxford. They're clearly getting a tune out of him. Mark Harris up front actually didn't impress me all that much last night. But again, 18 goals. Josh Murphy, £11 million Cardiff City paid for him. I think it's a £27 million on transfer market, but £11 million it was reported. Every time they got the ball, I thought that they had the potential to hurt us. And when I was looking beforehand at that kind of ensemble,
it just made me think, John, we are just a little stage behind this in terms of the personnel that we've got available right now. That's how it looked to me.
Yeah.
And then the game kicks off and you get 25, 30 minutes in and they've had their chances and we've had our chances. And that's always the leveler. That's always the equaliser. That's always the moment where I go, actually, our players are good players. Actually, Oxford will be looking at our team going, Danny Mandroyou, bloody hell, he was, you know, he played in the Europe for, I can't remember, bloody side, Shamrock Rovers. He played in Europe, Shamrock. Ethan Arahan, God, they paid £250,000 for him. He was wanted by Championship clubs. Joe Taylor, look how many goals he's got recently. So I always say this. I said it to my mate Pete when I spoke to him about from the outside looking in, it's always easier to be objective from the inside looking out. You never value what you have as much as what other people have. It's an envy, not a jealousy, kind of sometimes an envy. But then half time came around and that was where I really did believe at that point. And was that something you kind of felt in the stadium? Had your feelings changed at all?
I always believed that we could get something out of last night. My beliefs on the fact that the playoffs were over and all of this after Saturday, they never actually dampened my thoughts that we could go to Oxford and get something. I wasn't quite sure about a win, but I definitely thought we could get a draw. And I certainly didn't think that we'd get hammered in the same way that Peterborough did, for example, on Saturday.
No.
Never, ever expected anything like that. So I always thought that we were going to give them a good game and potentially get a result out of it. But then, yeah, I think... So I don't actually think many of my feelings changed too much by halftime because it was a game where both sides were in it more or less to the same extent.
Okay. That's interesting. Because, I mean, a draw wouldn't have been any good.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
It wouldn't have been any good to us at all last night, which is why it surprised me that I thought Oxford kind of looked quite attacking. I don't think that they certainly weren't defending deep. And respect to them for that, they went to win the game. They wanted to secure the playoffs there and then rather than having to go through Stevenage and I believe it's Exeter on the last game of the season for them. I might be wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
So fair play to them for that. And maybe, you know, that's a glimpse into here's what you could have won. There's Buckingham, who was obviously one of the managers that was heavily linked with us. But instead we got Michael Scabala, which I think is spelt G-O-D. The same as you spell Arahan, actually. Seems that you spell the same things the right way. So we come straight out second half and there was that intensity. We knew we had to win the game. And I think you saw that from the way that we applied ourselves in the first half. So came out the second half. The chance that leads to the penalty, I want to talk about it. Have you had a chance to watch it back? Because I know in real time.
I have.
Yeah, so you've had a chance to watch it back. Now, first of all, Joe Taylor, I'm not quite sure. Is he trying to flick that back to Ben House purposely?
I think he was a little bit like the goal away at Carlisle where he nodded it down to House in the area. I think he was again trying to assist House in that sense.
Because it looked to me like it would have been easier to stroke in the back of the net, to be honest. But
I think the ball was probably just a little bit behind him. So I'm going to credit him for quick thinking to knock it back rather than try and lose control of it, if you like.
Now, on Saturday, people may have noticed I was a little critical of the guessing linesman. So did it even itself out? Because I've watched back four or five times and I'm convinced Rodriguez wins that ball.
Yeah, I am. But I am going to just say on the flip side, I think if the referee doesn't blow, we score. Because Joe Taylor's managed to pick the ball back up and looks like he's about to take the shot on and I think he'll score it. So we don't know, but I think we'll score regardless. That's the only thing I will say. But I am willing to agree with Oxford fans. Let's be honest. We got a little bit lucky on that one.
What's the rules on tackling from behind now?
Well, I've always known it is as long as you touch the ball first, you're fine. Yeah, you can't go through the player to get the ball, obviously. So you have to just touch the ball first.
But if you take the ball and then the player, in the modern game, I've seen that given as a free kick.
I don't think they should.
Later on in the game, we see a yellow card given for a tackle that's not that much different. Duffy.
Which one? Yeah, Duffy. I think that is different, though.
It's still coming from behind. He still wins the ball.
But does Ruben Rodriguez go through Ben House to get the ball? See, I don't think he does. But I do think Dylan Duffy goes through. I don't actually know who it was that he fouled. I don't think he actually, I think he goes through the man to get the ball, whereas I don't think Ruben Rodriguez does. I think he gets the ball first and then Ben House falls over because of kind of the ball being dragged from under his feet.
I'm arguing for argument's sake because I don't think it was a penalty and I do think Duffy should have been sent off. So
I love how we're arguing when it's us that have been niced by it, really.
I know. And the thing is, on the face of it, I don't know how different it would have been for us because if we'd beaten Wigan, so we'd be 3 points better off. But if we drew with Oxford, we'd be 2 points worse off. So we'd only be a point better off anyway. Would that be right?
Yeah, but who says we'd have beaten Wigan and who says that we wouldn't have scored later on in the game against Oxford because the whole complexion of both games changed. So
again, you're still arguing the point I made is that these things don't even themselves out and it's pointless to say it. But we're at that stage of the season where that's what kind of goes around in my head. It wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't a penalty. If it's against us, it's harsh. If it's a foul, it's a yellow card, by the way. Because he's coming from behind. He didn't book Rodriguez, as far as I'm aware. I didn't see a yellow card flashed at the time. And I'm not going to criticise Lee Swaby, actually, because I don't think he had that bad a game. And I know a lot of people are really down on the referee from last night, saying that he had a stinker. I didn't think he particularly did. But Danny Mandroyu, is there any Lincoln player past or present that you would rather have take a penalty? Not John Akindi, because his penalty record, despite being very good, left me crapping myself every time. He just wandered up to the ball and stroked it home. But anyone else, you think? Because I think Mandroyu's penalties are normally spot on.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, he deserves to be taking them for that exact reason.
So... that's great insight. Cheers, Charlie.
I didn't hear your question because you glitched out for half of it.
So the goal changed the complexion of the game. I've said it in chats on Twitter. I'll say it again. After that, I thought there was some real shithousery from us. And I'm not a massive fan of the dark arts. But if you're going to be a success, you have to master it. Danny and Nicky's teams did master it. What Dan and Nick tended to do, they were quite direct at times. We got the ball down in the final third, but we knew how to manage games. And last night, Skubala's Imps managed that game like I have not seen it before, because it wasn't blatant as well. It wasn't Wickham-style blatant. It wasn't Stevenage-style, just snooker ball in a sock to the side of the face. It was subtle. It was, dare I say, clever. And I just thought the second half just disappeared into this dirge of kind of free kicks and niggles, and you know, that helped us win the game, didn't it?
You need to break up the game when you're in that position. We needed the victory. It was as simple as that. We went to Oxford knowing exactly what it was that we needed from the game, and they needed to not lose. So we were in control in that sense. We had to start breaking it up. I don't mind it I don't think you can do it in every single game of a season and it can be anywhere near acceptable, but that's not what we're doing here. That's not what we're talking about. Like, I've seen some comments from Oxford fans, we're worse than Stevenage, we're worse than Wickham under Ainsworth, we're a nasty, horrible side and all of this. It's like, maybe we were for the second half of the game. Maybe we were when we needed to be, but that's not for the whole season. That's not what we're always doing. But it's what we needed to do in that scenario. And to be fair, I rate that because it shows a lack of naivety from our players to be able to know that that's what they need to do in that scenario. Obviously, whether that's Scala teaching them, telling them exactly what it is that he wants on them in that time frame, or whether it's they're taking that on their shoulders, maybe a captain's choice to say, right, let's start breaking this game up and let's start acting in a way that, okay, maybe it isn't the sexy football type that you want to be seeing week in, week out, but it's the way that will win you a game when you're already leading. So I'm all up for it, and I think it was brilliant.
Well, the thing is, like you say, if you do it all game, every game, you get the reputation like your Stevenages and your Wickhams. But I likened us to Ian Everts, Bolton, more so. Not quite there in terms of the quality in certain areas, perhaps not quite there, but I can see us moving towards that. When Ian Everts Bolton are good, they're very, very good. And when they're bad, they're horrendous. And they can mix that and they can turn it in a second. One minute they're attacking you with pace and power and tearing you apart. The next minute they're buying themselves 10, 15 minutes
the next minute somebody's being sent off and they're not making a mass, but you know what? They're just, they were clever. That was the thing. There's a real fine line. And I can see us finding that line. I can see Ethan Arahan getting a little bit more controlled in the way that he does what he does. And the away comms, by the way, last night were full of praise for Arahan, saying he was a niggler, saying he was a great footballer, but he knew exactly what he was doing all the time. He went down at one point. I actually thought he did take a bit of a shot from Greg Lee. Greg Lee, I think, was running out the area and just happened to catch him, and he went down. And yeah, I also thought their one of their striker actually did it to Jensen as he was going to kick the ball out. Or not, no, it might have been Sam Long, centre half, ran across the front of him. But they were just as bad at it. And Joe Citroni, who is on Twitter, I don't know if anyone follows him, at @Joe_Citroni, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, Citrone. It's a high-profile Oxford fan podcaster. And after the game, he said, I can't imagine this will go down well, but I thought Lincoln were excellent, clearly did their homework on us, nullified our threats completely and didn't give us an inch all night. Yes, some dark arts were involved, but if you can get away with it with a shruggy face. So this game, we're looking at it as a one-off. We're looking at it as a game just in a little run towards the end of the season. We're not looking at what it tells us for the future. If we actually stood back and look what it told us for the future, it tells us this Lincoln City are continuing to evolve, I think, more and more. Because can you remember a single effort of Oxford's after we scored?
No. No, can't.
Did you ever feel they were going to score?
No, because that's a huge compliment to us and the way we were managing it.
Great insight again.
I missed the last 20 minutes of the game. I was in the first aid room.
Why?
My sister decided that she wanted to celebrate the penalty a little bit too much and ended up like twisting something on her ankle. So, yeah. Oh. I know. Brilliant, isn't
Sorry,
it?
Sorry, mate. You should have said before we come on air and I would have not put you on the spot.
No, you're all right.
Well, just so you know, I mean, I can inform you the last 20-odd minutes of the game, they didn't really get anything. So you missed the red card, but you've seen it. We'll talk about
that. I've seen it.
The first yellow isn't a yellow. He wins the ball in the first half.
Yeah.
It's not a yellow card. It's not a foul. The ref is side. There is a player in the way. I'm going to defend him. He's given the yellow card. Perhaps there was a little bit of an inconsistency between how many yellows he gave out to us and them in the first half, whatever. But at the end of the day, I don't think Michael Scabala was even ready to defend Duffy. And when I say defend, it wasn't a moment of madness. It's overexuberance from a young man who's been given his opportunity. He had been tugged. He was had a little tug of the player as he had gone past him in the start of the move, which I don't like to see that. And I think that's a yellow card anyway. And then he's just gone off his feet. He's out of control. Whether he wins the ball or not, it's a yellow card.
Yeah, simple as that. It is. It's naivety, in all fairness. He doesn't need to do it. The only thing I will say is, from watching it back, where if you can look at it from Duffy's angle, in that sense, he will have in his eye line the player to his left, seemingly probably a little bit out of the way, and the ball there ready to be won. And I think he was sliding in to try and just kick the ball out for a throw-in. So I can defend him a little bit in the sense that I think from his eye line, the ball is there, open, perfectly free to be won. The player isn't actually there. But obviously, it does also show a little bit of naivety. He doesn't need to be diving in like that, especially when... Is it Danny Mandroyu that stood there as well?
Yeah, it is Mandroyu.
Especially when it's Danny Mandroyu.
I can see what you mean. You mean he's going to get the ball, not realising that their lad's going to come.
From his eye line, yeah.
Because he does. I mean, he's off the thing. He actually doesn't catch the guy with his kicking leg. Mm. He catches him with the second leg coming through. I mean, it's... Do you know what? I've seen them not given. I've seen those not given. It could have been seen as a robust challenge, but in the atmosphere, I just think, I think it was,
you know,
one that the referee couldn't afford
not to. You
know,
when we talk about referees giving easy decisions, you know, if there's a bit of pushing and shoving in the penalty area when there's a corner kick, they'll just give it as a free kick because that's the easy decision. I actually think in this sense, giving the red card, the second yellow, was the easy decision. He couldn't not really, because I don't think he was... The question was being asked of him. And like I say, with that atmosphere and everything going on, the fact he was already on a yellow, think it was just the easier decision that he had to do, especially with how many yellows Lincoln had already accrued by that point.
Fair enough. Jack Moylan must have been kicking himself on 76, off on 86 or whatever it was. I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
Any more comments about Oxford before we move on, Charlie?
Look, if Oxford get into sixth, we'll talk about it in a minute, I know, but if Oxford get into sixth, they won't make it to the championship.
Bold?
Yeah.
Bold? Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have some Des Buckingham comments?
I did, in fact. So Des Buckingham was not very complimentary about the referee, as I'm sure you can imagine. So he goes, I've got complaints about the penalty. I've just watched it back and it wasn't a penalty. He wins the ball. So that is frustrating, considering it ended up deciding the outcome of the game. He then said, we've created a couple of big opportunities and didn't take them. And of course, then when a decision goes against you, it gives them something to hold on to. He sort of mentioned Lincoln, you know, they're at a stage where they needed the win. They did everything they could to make sure they left here with that as soon as they went 1-0 up. We set up pretty well to deal with what their threats were, but it's a key moment in the game. Basically, he just goes on and on and on about the referee. And then, you know, looks ahead to Friday night, which is a huge game for them. If we can put a performance on Friday night in front of our own fans in the final game of the regular season here, then we'll do as much as we can to make sure we leave with the result that we all want. And then
I'll tell you what,
complains about the referee again.
Let's use that as a point to take a little break. And when we come back, we will have a little chat about what's coming up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. Mmm. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, so welcome back. We left there with Des Buckingham's comments about the referee. I couldn't really argue with him, if I'm honest, in terms of the penalty. I think overall the referee wasn't actually all that bad. It's easy to get lost in criticising the referee. But he certainly wasn't that bad. The referee on Saturday certainly drew our anger, Martin Coy. It seems that he also drew Wigan Athletic's anger. There was the mass confrontation at the end of the game, and some news has come out from the FA. Lincoln City and Wigan Athletic have been charged following a mass confrontation at their EFL League One game on Saturday, April the 13th. It's alleged that both clubs failed to ensure their players didn't behave in an improper and or provocative way in the 97th minute. Now, I think that that's a double negative. It's alleged that both clubs failed to ensure that their players didn't behave in an improper way, implies that they therefore did. So I'm hoping that that's a typo from Wigan today. Now, the issue here isn't for us. The issue here is actually for Wigan, because it is the fifth time, I believe, that Wigan have now been charged this season, and the sixth in 14 months. And apparently the last, so this isn't a Lincoln City thing, to be fair. This is kind of going back on a Wigan thing. But in the last one, the commission ruled that they were very concerned that this was the fourth proven charge already this season, despite Maloney's comments. It took the view that Wigan did not appear to have learned from past mistakes. They still haven't learned from past mistakes. That's going to be, I think, a big fine for Wigan. We will certainly get fined as well. They were fined £30,000. They've been fined £30,000 this season for indiscretions.
and they were hit with a £9,000 fine for the mass confrontation against Bolton when Bolton only got £2,500, even though the commission acknowledged it. I mean, started by Bolton player. I just find that I find it interesting that, you know, the FA still deal with those things. I mean, how did you see the confrontation? Or
it was both sets of players just going at each other. It was Sean Rowan and one of their lads, wasn't it, who sort of started it, if I remember correctly. So it'll be a fine. I think it's, is it our second? I know we got one against Fleetwood. I can't remember having one before then. Obviously we've got one with Fleetwood where it was the red card that was given to their lad, potential mistaken identity. So that's the one.
Yeah.
Where that was that big brawl after the whole House and Stockton one. Stockton? Stockley? Which one is it? Why am I getting confused between those two? It's Stockley, isn't it? Yeah. Not Stockton. Stockton's at Barrow. We'll get fined. We'll get slightly worse. I think it was £2,500 last time. It'll be slightly worse this time because it'll be a second offence. And the players will have to pay that. But if they get into the playoffs and get a little playoff bonus, then I'm sure they can just use that to pay it off instead.
Yep. So obviously we're talking about FA charges. So Dylan Duffy won't be playing this weekend against Cheltenham. The Cheltenham game is absolutely massive now. So I don't know which way we look at this, whether we look at Cheltenham and then go into playoff permutations. If we take Cheltenham as a standalone game, it's one that at any other part time in the season, you kind of look at it and think we should win that. You know, they're a team struggling down the bottom of the table. They've been in the bottom four most of the season. They were arguably one of the worst teams to come to Sinsel Bank all season before Daryl Clark took over. So it's one that you should be looking at winning. However, you then look at it in the context of they've got two games to save themselves in this division. They picked up a win against Burton last night, a 2-1 victory. So they've got to take something from this game in order to have any chance of survival at all. I think actually they've got three games left, haven't they? Not two. I think they play midweek next week as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So they're fighting for their survival. It just makes it impossible to preview without emotion entering it, doesn't it?
It does. We can try and sit here and be as objective about the way the two teams are going to line up and all of this as much as we want, and their strengths and their flaws and our strengths and our flaws and all of this. But like you say, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, quite frankly, who's going to want it more. And I normally hate that phrase when it comes to football, because both teams want the win. But with this one, I'm worried about going down to Cheltenham, because they're going to be fighting for absolutely everything. They'll probably take a point in the grand scheme of things because they've got three games. And because, quite frankly, Burton are just so poor that they could quite easily go two games without getting another point. So Cheltenham, they might want that. Since Daryl Clark's come in, Cheltenham sit 18th in the league. They've picked up 40 points from 33 matches. And that shows the difference. Their season is very much a tale of two halves. Well, it was the first 2 months. And then it was ever since then under Daryl Clark. Because obviously we know their goal scoring woes for those first, was it 12 games they went without scoring, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
But even since then, they've not exactly picked up their goal-scoring feat. They've only scored 37 in 43 matches. And we know how strong our defence is. So on paper, great. We'll keep a clean sheet. We'll try and nick a goal or two, because they also concede a good few of goals as well. They've conceded 61 in 43 games. So paper, 2-0 victory for Lincoln, surely. I just don't see it going like that. I think it's going to be a really, really nervous 90 minutes. And it could be made a lot more nervous, depending on how Friday night's result goes as well. So I don't know how this one's going to go. They are a really poor side. It'll be interesting to see how we line up. I think it'll probably have to be a flat back four, or we bring in Jacko and we move Sean Rowan out to his secondary position out on that left wing back role.
Well, I think in terms of our lineup, I think it'll be a straight swap, whether it's Rowan... When I say a straight swap, it'll either be Rowan going out to the left and Jacko coming in, or it'll be a straight swap with Jack Burrows. Because obviously Jack Burrows can play
out on that position. I know. That's the thing. He's a forgotten man.
I forgot he existed, and that feels really harsh.
It does feel really harsh because Jack Burrows has done nothing wrong at all all season. He's never let us down. He's never showed a lack of interest. He's been a model professional. He's barely had a kick in this run that we've had. But he can come in. People going, oh, God, now we're without a left back. Jack Burrows was our starting left back for a portion of the season. So it's a blow. But it isn't a blow, if you know what I mean. So I think we can manage it. Now, you look at Cheltenham. They are a bad side. Mm. That's fact. They have won 2 since February the 23rd, which I think is 15 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games. I got my threes wrong. So they've won twice in 12 games. They haven't won at home since the 17th of February. They haven't scored more than 2 at home since the 17th of February. In that time, their home results have been 0-0 with Burton. They've lost 3-1 against Charlton, 2-1 to Exeter, 1-0 against Carlisle, 3-1 against Bristol Rovers. So they've picked up 1 point in their last like 6 home games or whatever. They are a bad side. And we talk about this win giving them a lifeline. Before that, they'd lost to Carlisle, Bristol Rovers, Leighton Orient and Exeter. So they struggle. You look at their team. There is one interesting player up top for them, actually, that really springs to mind is Matty Taylor, who has been an arsehole for years and years and years. I didn't realise he was there until I started looking at it. So they've got Taylor and Aidan Keener up front, they're a decent-ish set of 2 strikers. But, you know, if you're in League 2, they're playoff chasers. But if you're in League 1, they are what they are. Young Joe Nuttall as well. Danny Cowley was after Joe Nuttall for a while. He's been on the bench for him for a little bit. I don't know, Liam Sercombe, Sean Long.
Just nothing that jumps out at you, is there? You know, I mean,
not really.
Even Aidan Keener, I sort of rated him in the past and thought he'd be a good player for them. He scored 1 goal in 20 starts and 40 overall appearances this season. It just doesn't scream any decent level of League One player in there.
It's bad, isn't it? Because we're talking like this. I'm convincing myself more and more than go there and win 3 or 4-0. You look at Cheltenham's XG as well. 44 minutes XG first time. I mean, they beat Burton Albion 2-1 with an XG of 0.58. They lost 3-1 to Bristol Rovers. They got 0.82. 0.2 against Carlisle. Oddly, they then got 2.81 XG against Leighton Orient, but lost 3-1. 1.69, which was better than Exeter, and lost 2-1. But they're not great. 0.51 against Barnsley, 0.62 against Oxford, 0.68 against Burton, 0.38 against Wickham. Those issues that they had at the beginning of the season, they do still have. Cheltenham Town are going down. I'll state that now. Then their next game after this, next Tuesday, is Peterborough United. Peterborough will beat them. Whether we beat them or not, and I think we will, but Peterborough will beat them. For me, I genuinely think Cheltenham are going down. And I know that there's only 2 points between them and Burton and they've got a game in hand, but I can't see them picking up 3 points in the game in hand. Do you know what I mean? And that where the final day of the season, they're away at Stevenage. So I think they're going, I genuinely think they're going down. And I genuinely think looking at the way things are, they'll take it to the last day. But I think we're going to go and win at Cheltenham.
We talk about stats a lot and you can make stats tell you something quite easily in some cases. You can't make stats tell you that Cheltenham are good. you just can't. Any stat that you look at with Cheltenham at the minute, it just points to their crap will win.
Charlie, bloody hell. It's a little bit harsh. But that's not how football is. Football's not like that, is it? We know that.
No. We'll go there and lose 1-0 or something stupid. But I can't make a case for Cheltenham. I am worried about going to that game and I'm going to be a nervous wreck for the whole 90 minutes, I'm sure. But that's not going to be of a place of worrying about Cheltenham. That's just going to be internal nerves because of what it means for us. Has nothing to do with our opponents.
Fair enough. I was just looking through the stats to see if I could make anything so that Cheltenham are good. I found some stats that do say that they're not relegation candidates. 449 shots, which would have them sixth from bottom. Expected goals, they are sixth from bottom. Shrewsbury, Carlisle, Burton, Northampton and Cambridge all below them on expected goals. Expected goals against, they are sixth from bottom. Fleetwood, Shrewsbury, Barnsley, Wigan, Burton and Cheltenham. So the playoff permutations, we've got to go there. We've got to talk about it. We keep talking about it all the time. As things stand, I think there are five teams looking to filter in to two playoff places. There's Barnsley, played 44, all played 44, so I'll not repeat that again. So they're on 75 points. Oxford are then on 73. They're the two teams in the playoffs. We're on 71. Blackpool are on 70. Stevenage are on 67. So that's where we are at the moment. Top down. So first of all, Barnsley, two games to go, 75 points. We catch them if they fail to win both of their games and we win both of ours. So the maximum points we can get is 77. The maximum Barnsley can get is 81. But on Saturday, they go to Blackpool. Blackpool needing a win to stay in the playoff race. Charlie, I can see Blackpool winning that.
Agreed.
And then they host Northampton on the last day of the season, which I could see being a draw.
Northampton are a little bit inconsistent at the minute. You never quite know what side's going to turn up, purely for the fact that they've been on the beach for quite a while. But they'll want to go out and end what has been a really solid League One season in a bit of style. So, yeah, I agree. I think a draw is actually one of the best, probably the best Barnsley could do in that game.
Do you know what worries me, though, is away from home, Northampton, last three results, 2-0 defeat at Fleetwood, 1-0 defeat at Reading, 2-0 defeat at Wickham. Last three home results beat Derby 1-0, Port Vale and Carlisle 2-0 apiece. So they're good at home, not so good away. But the belief in me says that Barnsley could drop the points. Could. Next, you've got Oxford. Two games to play. This Friday night, live on Sky, which isn't an advert, they're at home to managerless Stevenage, Bellend. And on the last game of the season, they travel to Exeter City.
Exeter, a very tough game. Because they have picked up. They went on that 13-14 game winless run where one of the only 3 points they picked up was the draw at home against us. And since then, they stuck with Gary Caldwell, which I think was a massive decision at the time, and fair play to them because it's now worked out and they're perfectly safe and in a decent enough kind of mid-table position. So Exeter's not going to be an easy game because, again, like Northampton, they're going to want to round off the season in a little bit of style. And Friday night, huge. I'm just intrigued. Obviously, you said managerless Stevenage, and then you called a certain fella, Bellend. I mean, I agree in general. I don't think it's the worst decision, the worst thing for us, fact that he went today. I think it's better. Because yeah. I think the players are going to have this kind of massive togetherness and unity to go into the game. They're going to have to prove something in a way. The assistant manager, I think, is taking over, isn't he, for the last two games of the season. He's going to want to show something, and the fans are going to be right behind their team to basically forget about what Steve Evans has done. I think it's a huge opportunity for them to go out and show something, and that could really help us.
Yeah, it's not the assistant manager taking over, is it? Because that's Paul Rayner. And Paul Rayner has gone. It's Alex Ravel. Yeah. Right, I'll come on to Alex Ravel in a minute. So Exeter, by the way, are unbeaten in eighth.
Yeah.
And have won five of their last seven. And the only two that they've drawn in that time was at Leighton Orient and hosting Charlton. They've beaten Cheltenham, beaten Stevenage, beaten Port Vale, beaten Shrewsbury. They're on a good run. And at St James's Park, I don't think they've lost since February 13th at home when they lost to Derby.
So they are on a good run. We're trying to generate hope here, aren't we? That's what we're doing. The conclusion to this is going to be that we can still make the playoffs, which is a complete contrast to 3 days ago when me and Chris were telling you exactly this the same. So there's every chance that Oxford guy. I agree with you about Stevenage. Alex Ravel is a player that we nearly signed once.
All right.
A former manager in a conversation said to me, we really wanted him. I think his wife worked in the NHS. He didn't want to move from down wherever he was at the time. I want to say he was at Northampton, but I might be wrong. I'm sure they said he was at Northampton, but apparently he was a hard character. He was at Northampton, yeah, 2016 to 2018, and then he signed for Stevenage rather than us, so that tells you which manager it was, he told me. So he signed for Stevenage because he wanted to stay down there, he wanted to stay in that area. He's somebody, I think, that's got quite a bit of respect in the football world, uncompromising, tough. I think there is going to be an opportunity here for him to stake a claim. He's going to want to G the players up. He's already been manager, I think, of Stevenage at one point as well.
All right.
So he might even, managerial career. Stevenage, and he was sacked. So anyway, there we go. So that'll be interesting. Right, we'll come to us in a minute. Next one, Blackpool. So Blackpool, Barnsley, I think Blackpool could win that. That gives Blackpool 73 points. And on the last day of the season, Blackpool are at Reading.
They're
not getting maximum points either, are they?
They away at Reading with Blackpool's away form, there's no chance that they're going to get 6 points on those next two games.
That's bold. No chance. That's very definite, Charlie. Absolutely definite. So their away form is so bad that they won their last away game.
Yeah.
In fact, they've won three of their last five away games.
They're in a good run of form, but I don't think they're going to go five wins in a row.
Do you know, one thing I would say about Blackpool, they're not big on entertainment, are they? 1-1-0 at Carlisle, 1-0 against Fleetwood, 1-0 against Cambridge, drew 0-0 with Wickham, lost 1-0 against Derby, 1-0 against Wigan, beat Northampton 1-0, drew 0-0 with Portsmouth. I mean, my God, there's not going to be a lot of goals in the game. No. You have to go back to the 24th of February to see more than two goals in a Blackpool game. So that's tough. Blackpool have got a tough run in, and I think that it's probably just a step too far. I do think that they can beat Barnsley, perhaps 1-0, and then probably Reading. Alternatively, of course, Barnsley get the result, and then it's a two-horse race between us and Oxford. So interesting. And then finally, Stevenage could still make it. Well, if they go, listen to me, Charlie, you say they're out of it. So let's say they go to Oxford and win 4-0, right? That puts them on a 18-goal difference. Puts them on a 14-goal difference. It puts Oxford on 18. So then, technically, Stevenage could win their last game of the season 5-0, and they would be level with Oxford and overturn their goal difference. So, and their last game of the season's Cheltenham.
Yeah, but Cheltenham are a really good side. We've just looked at all the stats to prove it. So,
also won 1 in 10. Since they played us and drew 0-0, they've won 1 in 10. And that was against
new manager bounce, though.
Well, do you know what? Looking at that run, I'm surprised they didn't sack Evans anyway. They're the playoff permutations, Charlie. I'm not going to ask you if we're going to do it or not, because clearly nobody at the Stacey West podcast has got the faintest idea about Lincoln City at all.
No, apparently we're not. Do you know what? I don't know. It's going to be really, really tough. But I don't care. At this point, I still do not care if we only miss out by 2 points. Because to have known that we'll have pushed it as far as we have, considering the place that we're in, I was resigned to the fate of not being out of it and all of that on Saturday 5 o'clock, and I was perfectly happy with that. There was that period of deflation for literally it was only about an hour on Saturday night, and then actually I didn't mind, because knowing how far we'd come and knowing that we were even in the conversation with four games left to go, whatever, was enough for me. As much as I genuinely did start dreaming that we were doing it, and especially Good Friday when we actually broke into the top six. It's not like we're bottling it in any sense. We were still always the outsiders coming in. And I'm just happy that we've enjoyed this run. We're playing some really good football. And I'm constantly now just looking forward to next season because everything we're going to have for next season is massive.
Yeah, no, sod that. I was still pissed off well into Sunday. I was. And yeah, I wasn't nervous at all going into last night's game because I'd resigned myself to the fact. And that's how I deal with things, I think, a little bit, is having an absolute certain idea in my mind that something will or won't happen. That's how I deal with the nerves. That's how I've kind of got through what has actually been an outstanding run. Sure. And yeah, I made a note in the written article that I did. I don't know if anyone who listens to the podcast reads it or not, but it's like a montage. It's like a Rocky film, you know, and in January you've got that rising up and all the players are coming in and, you know, they're slapping them on the back as they come in, and it keeps going to Michael Scabala and people on punch bags and Joe Taylor coming in and Freddie Draper coming in. And we're in the last scene now. And Saturday we were knocked out. It's that moment where you think, oh no, Rocky's not going to get up. And it's only 5 minutes of the film left. And then he's got up and he started throwing the punches. And that's where we are right now. We've gone to Oxford United, a side who, I disagree with you. I think if they get in the playoffs, they've got the potential to put a little run together to use some momentum to push themselves forward. They've been on a phenomenal run. They've beaten some decent teams. They haven't actually. They've only beaten Fleetwood, Port Vale, Cheltenham. No, they're not going to make it. Stop that. Stevenage will beat them. Exeter will beat them. The Imps are going up. right. Let's move on very quickly because of those of you that are watching on video, and there are very few of you, I would think, seeing as we don't put the whole video up. Should we put the whole video up this time?
Just to show off these?
Yeah, I mean you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to be fair, I think we need to just for the fireworks and for you sticking your thumbs up all the time.
Yeah, we'll put the full video out on YouTube. So for those of you watching on the full video, you may notice that me and Charlie got dressed together today. Not in a sexual way. in that we're wearing our Stacey West hoodies. Now, our Stacey West hoodies are sponsored, as I say several times, by Bellgate Clothing, Fox Electrical Supplies. Brilliant. They were provided to us for the 10K. Fantastic. So many people. I think it was only you and Chris wearing them, wasn't it? I didn't wear mine to the game and Ben didn't have his on. So many people came up that we've decided to put them on sale. So we're going to be placing an order a week on Friday for these. Now, we've already had an order for 11, which is phenomenal. I never had myself as a clothing magnate, but apparently that's where I'm now going. Fashion designer, Stacey West Fashion. So they are 25 quid. Every penny of profit will go to the foundation. So every purchase, we're not taking anything at all for ourselves, obviously. So if you want one of these hoodies, they are a nice two-tone for those of you that cannot see. They're black with red arms, red hood, red drawstrings. We've got the Stacey West logo on the badge where the football badge would be. It's kind of on a bit of a red background. They're not unlike the Formation Range red hoodies that the club put out, I think, a while ago. So if you want one, there is an order form on the Stacey West at the moment. There's an article went out on there yesterday, I believe, which I will pin to social media. Come in a range of sizes from ridiculously thin and child kind of sizes in small to the larger man or woman, indeed. And as we say, every penny will go to the Stacey West. Orders have been coming in, as I say. At the moment, by my maths, we probably raised about 80 quid for the foundation just off the sale of these.
That's brilliant. Really, really good quality hoodies as well. Like, I genuinely, I'm not just wearing this because we're doing this either. Like, I've been wearing it most of the afternoon because it was bloody cold down here. They are actually really, really good. I wore it on Tuesday night again because I didn't quite think it was going to be cold enough for a full coat. And I just wanted a hoodie to wear. And this is now the first one that I pick up every time, which is great.
Yeah, we're laughing and joking, but I do the same. Yeah. I do the same. I kind of got up this morning. It's like, oh, where's my Stacey West hoodie? Yeah. And it's not just because it. And also, here's a thing. My dad's ordered one.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. My dad has actually ordered one. He did see one. He saw Chris's. He kept looking at it in the pub on Saturday going, I like the look of that. It's a bloody nice hoodie, you know, that is. And then today, he's actually ordered one. Getting my dad to part with money. I mean, honestly, unbelievable.
So if you want to order a Stacey West hoodie, pop along stacywest.net, scroll down until you find the article that says something along the lines of hoodies for sale. I'm sure that, I don't know what the article is. Hang on, I'll tell you what. I should really know it, but we'll go to the Stacey West and I'll tell you what the article is called. It's cleverly enough, I've titled it Get Your Stacey West Hoodie and Running Top. So we are doing another run on the running tops as well for those that wanted them. Again, without the the ones that you'll order will be without the sponsors things on the arms, which will just be the Stacey West hoodie. So that's all good. Well, look, thank you for finding time in your busy schedule, Billy, to join us tonight. It was a pleasure and an honour.
I can't promise I can make it too regular now. You know, you are going to have to go through my management. I think I've got an interview at midday tomorrow in town. Somebody wanting a piece of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know. It's only Lincoln local.
Only local. It's not big. It's just local.
You know, I'm setting my sights higher than that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's hope they're not listening, Charlie. Hey.
No, I don't think they do. I hope they don't.
I've got a picture of you being interviewed before the 10K as well. So there we go, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, dogs, cats, whoever else is listening, even if you've got like an iguana, maybe. Once again, Lincoln City defy the odds. We look down and out, dead and buried on the canvas, seeing stars. The referee had got to 9.5, and all of a sudden we've sprung back up. We've given Oxford a bloody nose. We're not in pole position, but we are the best of the rest at the moment with 2 games to go. My bold prediction now is that it may go to the end of the season. And as a prediction, that's pretty rubbish because it's non-committal. It may or it may not. But whatever happens, it's been a phenomenal little run. And the beat goes on. Up the Imps.
Up the Imps.
It's the 90th minute and all your mates around watching the Imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.